Welcome to the Halloween edition of Real Ghost Stories Online 2019. This year, we've had one saga play out that has stood out more than any other, and it continues to play out to this very day. Today, on Real Ghost Stories Online, the saga of the ghosts that inhabit the building where Glenn the security guard guards, including a brand new update and call from Glenn himself on what the spirits are doing to him and his life.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And this show, by the way, if you're just tuning in for the first time because it is Halloween, you can press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to, because this is not just a Halloween show. We do this show year-round. So be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is. You'll get ghost stories all year. The show every single week. And if you really like it, help support us, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. That's how this show has been going on for as long as it has. And you guys have made us one of the biggest ghost story podcasts in the world over the last 5 to 7 years, however many years you've been doing this. I don't even know anymore. But it's because of you guys that we're still doing this. So if you like the show, in the spirit of keeping it alive, become an extra podcast person. Like I said, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up and share your real ghost, or to sign up and share your real ghost story if you want, but also to support the show, get all the bonus episodes, the EPP episodes. We give those to you every single week. They're exclusively for EPP members, extra podcast people, as well as advanced episodes of the show, which are commercial free when you're an EPP through ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. So this is a sound here you're probably going to hear a lot of over the next couple of days in your house, especially if you have children. It's Halloween candy, and I got my stack of it right here, and I am excited for this episode. I have been thinking about doing this all year. I've been trying to every year we do a Halloween episode of the show. And it originally was just called Real Ghost Stories from Real People. That's how the show started. And every year it changes a little bit. We do Real Ghost Stories from Real People pretty much every day of the week, year round. And so the Halloween show, I always try and make stand out a little bit. Sometimes it's a theme. Sometimes it's a focus on one topic or another. This year, in 2019, we have had a series of calls that have come in from a gentleman named Glenn. Glenn, if you're just joining us, is a security guard in a big old building. I believe it was an old hotel at one point in time, and it's going through renovations right now. Renovations, I think it's becoming apartments and offices and things of that nature, but it's very actively, you know, being worked on. And as you know, probably, when it comes to renovations of old buildings, sometimes it does stir up activity. And that has certainly been the case with this building that Glenn is employed at. Over the year, Glenn has called in with multiple stories about what has been happening at this building. And he's also been posting very actively video and accounts on our Real Ghost Stories Online group page. So if you want to go to Facebook, look up Real Ghost Stories Online group. You can, I'll accept you as a member there, and then you can see some of these videos. You got to scroll back a little bit here and there because they're sporadic throughout the year. But they are shocking videos. These are not ones you find on YouTube and then have been reposted 500 different places. These are from him. These are from security cameras. These are from his cell phone. These are really just, oh my God, videos of paranormal activity happening at this place where he is employed as a security guard. Glenn has a brand new update for us on today's show, and we will get to that in a little bit. But since so many folks are new to the show, so many folks are finding us for the first time here in October, And you know, it's hard to listen to every single episode of the show, but a lot of people do. Some people can't. I want to bring everyone up to speed, and this is going to be a really fun episode of listening to Glenn's ghost story in chronological order. This is going to take us back to the beginning of the year. I found what I believe to be every call from him. If I'm missing one, I apologize, but I think I have them all. And we're going to hear this story from the initial account all the way up to today and his latest account that's never been heard yet. We're going to hear it on this extra long episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. So you are in for a treat here this Halloween 2019. So without further ado, this is Glenn. This is his initial call into us from the beginning of 2019.
So how you doing, Tony? I tried to call this a couple of times, either had a resident come down and talk to me about something personal or something else, or something else would happen. About a half an hour ago, I was sitting at my post and I was watching the cameras while the other guard was going around doing her tour, and it's some, like, the shit that happens here is like some of the craziest shit that you will ever see in your life. Like, I've never seen stuff like this. I don't know, because the building's from 1891, or I mean, my apologies, from 1892, and stuff is starting to come out the woodwork because they're doing construction on it and remodeling it. But some of the shit is like, I don't know, some crazy shit that you'll see here. I was just watching the monitors. We have four monitors. They're both 46 inches apiece, and they each on each floor from 11 to the first floor, which is the boiler room, they have about 12 or 13 cameras. The problem is some of the cameras, they record back in the back in the management building. So some of the stuff we can't see, and then they'll bring to our attention later. But I was watching where the management room was, and there was all of a sudden I seen like a light, like a bright light appear, and all of a sudden little kids started running from that light toward the bathroom, and all of a sudden the bathroom light turns on. I'm like, holy shit. I'm trying to get a hold of my other, patrol officer. I'm like, you need to come down here and see this. And where she was on the fifth floor, so fifth floor being the worst floor that we have here, besides the boiler room, the communication started staticking and was breaking up pretty bad. So when she actually got back down here, I was like, you need to see this. And I tried to record it, but since we had that big storm a while back, it knocked our systems out of loop, I guess. We were trying to rewind it and it wouldn't let us. I was like, you see that bathroom? And she's like, yeah, the light wasn't on a few minutes ago. I was like, I know. A little girl came, ran through there, and the light is now on. And she's like, this place is screwed up. And I was like, yes. But while she was on her tour on the fifth floor, I didn't tell her that because she's a little smaller than I am, and I'm a big guy. I just didn't want to freak her out. But when she hit the run on the fifth floor to go down to the stairwell to the fourth floor, something came out of an old washroom, which they keep there. They're trying to remodel it right now. They're gutting it out, and it's where people used to do laundry. Something about 5'5" came out of that room, and it was, I guess, a shadow or something. I don't know. But it looked like it was a human form, but it was, like, kind of in and out, and it ran down the hall once it got around the corner and went, like, out of focus, and it disappeared. Like, I've tried to call a couple times, and every time I've either called, it was either a resident came down and talked to me, or some shit happened on the monitor, and I tried to rewind it real quick, and then try to watch it. But this is some of the craziest, you know, stuff you'll see. I was talking to a contractor the other day, and he goes, "Bud, you can't. We're not allowed personally to go down to the fifth floor or down to the boiler room." And he was telling me, he goes, "You know, the other day while I was down there, we had a door that we had taken off the hinges." I said, "Okay." He goes, "We stood there for 12 minutes watching this damn thing open and close." And he goes, "It wasn't just a soft open and close either." He goes, "This damn thing was slamming shut and then slamming open and slamming closed." He goes, "Whatever was down there, whatever is down there, doesn't like us being down there." I said, "Sounds like it." And he goes, "So the other day, they've been putting new copper pipes in. And one of the new copper pipes goes right to where the room that they're using to, you know, do all the formats and all that stuff for the floors and stuff." And he said these copper pipes start shaking really bad, and he's like, "Oh shit, somebody's down there trying to steal copper pipes." So he went down there real quick, and nobody else was there besides him, because the other workers left. As soon as he got down there, nobody was down there. And he goes, just about then, something came flying out through the other room and hit him in the back of the, like, right between the shoulder blades. And come to find out, it was like a bolt. And he says, once he got hit with that bolt, he, like, shook it off and then ran back upstairs real quick. And, like, he said he was pretty freaked out about that. He said there's times when he'll go down there in the morning and shift his tools over to the right side and go upstairs real quick, grab his cup of coffee, and then come down there by himself. And he says those whole tool sets, he'll line them up, and then they'll be on the other side of the room or in pieces all out through the bottom floor. But he says he's, like, he's freaked out about the stuff. It is, I don't know. Supposedly, a lady went down there with a guy, a gentleman friend, and they did some kind of drug or something. And then the lady was starting to freak out, and she ended up killing the guy. So I don't know if that's true or what, but if so, the dude might be pissed off how he died or what. But a lot of times when you get down to record something or on the phone, and they're like, who's heavy, you know, who's breathing like that really heavy? And they'll tell them, well, nobody's down there with them. And then they'll record it, and you can hear, all you can hear is like a deep, scroggly voice, like breathing really heavy and right behind them. And they said that freaks them out because, again, nobody would be down there with them. So they're going to come back upstairs, like, shaking up about it. And I recorded some on the fifth floor the other day. It sounded just like that because I let the contractor that comes in the morning listen to it. And he goes, man, we get that on the boiler room all the time. And I don't know if it's a voice or what, but when I was walking on the fifth floor and I felt something like come up on me really quick. Like, I don't know if you ever get that feeling like you're there somewhere and you're like, holy shit, something's behind me. So you turn around and look, and usually nothing's usually behind you. But I turned around and it felt like I was staring at something. Like, it was just like a really bad vibe. So I turned around and I just felt like I was, again, looking at something. And I went ahead and started, you know, and I was recording at that time. So, like, you know, when I get back down to the floor, I'll rewind it and check it out. When I got down there, I rewinded it. And with a point, I turned around, it saw, like, somebody going, ah, like, really loud. I was trying to rewind it and throughout the night. And I'm listening to it. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to make, you know, sense of what they're saying. And it sounded like, to me, it says, run, boy. And as like that, I didn't go back on the fifth floor all night. Like, I won't even go on the fifth floor now, and I'm gonna go do a tour now, so I ain't doing that shit. That's off limits to me. But I'm gonna go do another tour. I will try to record and see if I can catch anything else, and I will send it to you guys' page on Facebook. You guys have a good night.
So that was one of our initial communications with Glenn, hearing the distraught tone in his voice, the authentic frustration, fear, horror, confusion of what was going on at his workplace. If you want to see the videos, like I said, that he's been posting and sharing with us, look up Real Ghost Stories Online Group on Facebook, and you can find those there. Here is the second communication we had with Glenn.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn. And you won't believe, like, this stuff that's going on right now, but so I was talking to the ladies in the office the other day because they were like, because they've been hearing that I've been, you know, catching videos of stuff at night and during the day. And they were telling me about, she goes, the main lady that, you know, runs everything. She goes, hon, do you mind if I talk to you real quick? And I was like, yeah, what's wrong? You know, since I'm security, I thought it might have been a security issue. She was talking to me and she goes, hon, you ain't going to believe this, but I just got a call from the head contractor. And you know how you say you cut, you know, I've seen the videos. She goes, I've seen them from everybody, from the owner of the building, from the contractor, from the workers. She goes, so here soon they're supposed to be taking the boiler room out. I said, okay. I said, is there anything that you need us to do when they do that? She goes, no, hon. She goes, here soon. They're going to be taking the boiler room out, but there's a problem. They're supposed to be taking the furnace and the boiler out. And I said, okay. I said, do you need me to keep people out or what's going on? She goes, no. She goes, they found human remains in the furnace. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, you heard me right. They found human remains in the furnace. And I was standing there flabbergasted. And I was like, well, shit. You know, well, that might be some of the reasons that it's really as bad as it is down in the boiler room, because we had contractors get scratches on time. But, you know, you're thinking of contractors and stuff like, well, you know, they're contractors. They work with heavy stuff. They, you know, tear stuff out. They could get scratched. But they're getting scratches in places that have double lining clothing or, you know, places that you wouldn't think they would get scratched at. They've been getting scratched on their butt. They're getting scratched on their back. The other day, they were telling me that the owner of the building was down there, and he caught a video of a bucket, a big paint bucket, was moving by itself. And he said, you know, this is cool, and started recording it. And one thing led to another, and the bucket literally flew across the room at him and, like, damn near missed his head by a couple inches. And he said, all right, I'm done here. And he ran back upstairs. I'll let you know what else is going on, but I figured I had to call. But from what I understand, back in the 50s and 60s, when the place was still, I'm not trying to be, you know, wrong about it, but it turned from a, back during that time, it was still a Jim Crow era thing, but it used to be a all white hotel, then it turned into a lower class black owned hotel. And, you know, it's something weird, but apparently the mob that used to live and that used to run Newport, Kentucky, apparently tried to branch out into Ohio and stuff like that. Well, they used to have mob meetings in the ballroom at the place that I work, and they used to do hits there as well. And they didn't really, like, you know, think of them, you know, they didn't really have proof that they were doing hits there. Well, I guess we found the proof the other day, because they're getting ready to remove the furnace, and they really can't do anything because it's not like a full human remains, but it's like bits and pieces of femurs, you know, arms, ribs and stuff like that. But there's multiple body parts in that furnace, so they're thinking once the mob would do the hit, they would throw them down into the furnace, and it would pretty much cremate them. Well, I guess it did for the most part, but yeah, so we were talking about that, and I said, do you understand, like, once they remove that boiler and that furnace, that the shit around here is going to intensify, like, 100-fold? Like, they're getting ready to start pulling the floor up, and that floor has been there since, you know, 1892, since the building originally opened. So, it shit's about to get really, really bad there. But, I was talking to a contractor the other day, and he was telling me, because I had to go, I found out why they had the rosary beads in the contractor office. Apparently, there is a church across the street from where I work at the building, and he went across there to, after the stuff started happening, and, you know, stuff started hurting him, that he went across there and talked to a priest, and the priest said, "You need this," and he goes, "Well, what's this?" And it was the rosary beads, and he said, apparently he came over there and, like, as soon as he walked in the building, he was like, I can't do this, and left. So they also had, like, a lady that, you know, I'm not too, like, knowing what they do, but apparently they can sense the dead, or they can, you know, they can tell people, hey, you know, your grandmother says she wants to tell you that she loves you and stuff like that. Well, they had a lady come in and do that to see what was going on with the place. It was one of the manager's cousins or something. She walked in and said, this place is horrible. And the lady's like, yeah, we know, you know, this is and going on. She goes, no, you don't understand, there's so much death here. She goes, so much brutal acts of death. She goes, I can't do this. And she goes, what do you mean you can't do this? She goes, there's at least 50 to 60 people right now in the lobby. She goes, and they're all asking for help. And, like, I'm starting to get scared at this point, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty messed up, because that would explain the feelings that I get of being watched constantly on every floor, the other day, after, you know, they told me this, and they went up on the 11th, I believe. No, the 7th. I do apologize. The 7th floor. And that's where I caught the video the other day that I posted to your guys' site about the lady saying, yeah, I am. She goes, you won't believe this. She goes, we were on the 7th floor. And I said, yeah. And she goes, we got the same citrus smell perfume. And I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, you finally got the experience. She goes, honey, no. She goes, it just chased us off the floor. I said, what do you mean it chased you off the floor? She goes, we were literally up there, and all of a sudden, a big gust of wind hit us so hard that it damn near knocked us over. I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know, but I was trying to think of maybe it was because of wind from the outside. It was a little windy the other day, but she goes, honey, no. She goes, no. You don't understand. This wind was really bad. She goes, it hit us so hard that we damn near fell over. I said, oh, well, that's kind of crazy. She goes, yeah. She goes, and then we tried to walk down the hall even further, and she goes, all of a sudden, all we could hear was feet coming running at us. And she goes, honey, it was daylight. I can see, we could see in front of us. She goes, nobody was in front of us. So we ran. We took off. She gave me the pamphlet, and, you know, for one of the residents there. So I went up on the 7th floor, put it in the door, and she, you know, I didn't really experience anything. I didn't even smell the perfume, but we get the perfume smell now on the 11th, the 7th, and the 10th. So I don't know if something's moving from between those floors or what, but it's getting really bad there because, like, the amount of, like, stuff that's happening is starting to intensify. I don't know if it's because they're getting closer to, you know, removing the floor and the boiler or the furnace, but, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm close to having, like, have my family priest come in and probably try to bless the place. They've been looking into it because it's just getting so bad there now that I think I brought some stuff home with me. The other day or a while back, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, my little daughter was saying that she hasn't seen her friend in forever. And I looked to my girlfriend, I said, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, her imaginary friend. I said, okay, that's cool. So we get upstairs and we're getting ready to bed, and my girlfriend screams really loud. She goes, damn it, Miracle. And I was like, the hell are you talking about? Miracle's in bed. She goes, babe, you understand. I just saw Miracle on the side of the bed. I said, babe, Miracle wasn't on the side of the bed. I'm looking into the room now. Both of them are asleep. And she goes, oh, my God. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, it's a little girl. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a little girl. I'm starting to freak the hell out. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I'm trying to talk to you about it. She goes, babe, there's a little girl on my side of the bed. I'm like, hey, what are you talking? There's no little girl on the side of the bed. It was freaking me out so bad that I ended up staying up a couple hours past what I usually do. So I stayed up until about 5 a.m. just to, you know, keep an eye on things and stuff like that. So I'm getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden I see a little girl pop up on my side of bed. I thought it was my oldest daughter. I look again, this girl looked nothing like my daughter. And as soon as she walked by my side of the bed, she disappeared. And that scared the hell out of me because I was like, all right, I'm done. We have, like, LED lights hung out to the room. I turned them on real quick. I'm like, I'm a big guy, but that scared the hell out of me. And we were, you know, the next day, I got up. And I got into my game chair. And I turned around and I started getting ready for work and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we have a king size bed. Like, all of a sudden, my pillows are in the middle of the bed from when they go downstairs in the morning. Since I work seconds, I like to sleep in a little bit. And since, you know, I sleep in the middle, all my pillows are being in the middle of the bed. And all of a sudden, I'm in the chair. And the next thing I know, my pillows are pretty heavy. They go flying and hit the wall, side of the wall. And I'm like, holy shit. I get up real quick. I book it downstairs in my uniform, my utility belt, my sidearm, all that stuff. I book it downstairs real quick. And I'm a big dude, but this shit is getting to the point where I can't handle it no more. So I go downstairs real quick. And I'm like trying to shake it off. Like, I don't want them to see me, you know, stressed out over this, because then it's going to start messing with them. And I get downstairs and I ask my daughter, I said, you know, you found your friend lately? She goes, yeah, Dad, she went upstairs to speak with you this morning. I lost my shit. My heart hit the fucking ground. I was like, what? And Becca looked at me and she goes, I told you I saw a little girl last night. Like, it's scaring the hell out of us, like, right now. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about having a family priest come here and bless our house, and then maybe something we can do about that place. But as far as I know, there's nothing we can do about that place because there's just so much death. There's so much violence that happened in that place. There's so much death. Like, I don't know if it used to be mob-owned or, you know, like that. I don't know if there's more bodies, but when they said they first, you know, went through there, there was, they had the blueprints. They were telling us that there was places in the building that literally was not there on the blueprints. It said it was on the blueprints, but it was not there. They were saying extra walls were there. There were doorways that were there that weren't there. They were having, like, there's literally two tunnels underneath the building that no one knew about for the longest period of time. And they've been there since they've, you know, opened the building. It's just stuff is getting to the point where it's like, I don't want it to hurt my family, but I think some stuff did follow me home. You know, I don't know what to do, man. Like, I used to be to the point where I was like, you know, that's cool. You know, you've seen something that you can't explain. You know, you can't pretty much, you cannot literally wrap your mind around it. You're like, oh, that's awesome. And I think that would drew to me, but I kind of regret all that stuff right now because if I don't want it to hurt my family, you know, because that's the biggest part of me is just I'm a family. I can't deal with that stuff anymore, man. Like, I don't know. It just you literally can't wrap your mind around it. But I don't want something hurting my daughters or my girlfriend. And my girlfriend was telling me the other night, she goes, Glenn, I don't want to alarm you. I said, okay. She goes, there's a guy standing right behind you, and he's about close to 6, maybe 7 foot tall. And I said, Becca, I said, I don't want to hear that. And she goes, baby, I'm being dead serious. I turned around, sure enough, there's a guy standing right behind me, and like, I don't know. This is getting to the point where I'm like, I can't do this shit no more. So I think I'm going to talk to my family priest here soon and do what he can do. But as far as my job, I'm going to do my job until I can and find something else because I don't want something hurting my family at this point in time. And I don't think nothing has yet, but I hope nothing does, but, you know, it's horrible. But I'll let you know, I'll keep you updated, guys, about our work. I know as soon as they pull that furnace, shit's gonna fly. I know it is, because you got that much energy already based in those walls and stuff, and as soon as they start pulling them walls down, that's when stuff started happening really bad. And you're talking about, you know, years and years of, you know, fear, hate, inside of something. All that energy inside a furnace. And as soon as they pull that shit, it's going to be the worst shit. I think there's going to be some bad stuff happening here soon from that furnace. Like, as soon as they move it, they're going to be doing it here eventually, I think in the next 2 months. But I don't know. See, to the point where I'm just like, all right, I'm done. I can't do this no more. I'm done. But you guys have a good one. Bye.
And obviously that wasn't the end of where he was at with that job. Although I don't blame him for 1 second at that moment to be thinking, maybe this is it. Maybe I am going to be done with this now after going through an experience like that. But it did continue. It continued on. The strange occurrences. If you want to see some of the video of what happened once those were removed, then I encourage you to go to our Facebook group page and look that up, because they are some shocking videos of what happened there. Let's get our next call from Glenn.
How you guys doing? It's Glenn from Ohio. I just got off work a little bit ago. So A lot of stuff has happened since I last did the recall last time. I did a staging of like the whole place a while back, and it was like pretty good for a while. And then like maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, we started getting in one hallway just where it would be, where it was cut off from like residents and stuff. It would just be orbs. So we'd get, they'd be shooting, you know, everywhere for like hours on end. And that was it for a while. And then a week or two would go by, and then we'd start seeing them moving back into the, like, the stairwells and stuff like that. And then we start getting actually, like, what looks like mist and stuff that'd be walking up and down the hallways. And then while I was sitting at the computer one night waiting for our relief to get there to relieve us, I ended up seeing on camera 5, there was a really big amount of, well, there was a massive amount of mist by the emergency stairwell. And then it hung there for like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then after that, it just like pretty much just like dissolved. And then I remember, I think it was like, I can't remember, maybe a day or two, maybe a couple days ago, I was looking at the monitor. Just got into work at 3 o'clock, and I was sitting down. And I was like, well, you know, that's weird. That door is ever moving by itself. And I just kept watching it. I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like, you know, mist going down the stairwell. Now, you know, my partner was sitting next to me. I was like, look at this, man. Look at this. It's crazy. He's like, yeah, what stairwell is that? I was like, that's the, you know, 6th stairwell down to the 5th. He goes, all right, real quick. And then the contractor came around. I was like, what are you guys looking at? Because every time I find anything, he's like, hey, send it to me. I want to see that. He's got some. I thought I had a collection of stuff. No, that dude has some pretty horrible stuff. Like, he's got videos of the other guard that used to be there walking to the ballroom, and you could hear a piano playing, and then you would get to the right to the piano, and the piano would stop. Or you could hear a little girl in there playing in the ballroom by herself, and you hear her talking and then laughing, and all of a sudden, as soon as he gets to the ballroom, nobody's in there. But I was sitting down there, and I gave him all my walkie, and I was like, you know, here's the other walkie. Keep in contact. And Jeff's like, you know, looking at it, he goes, man, that's insane. He goes, well, you know, just to make sure, let me make sure ain't no workers up there, because it is, the building is under construction. So he's like, let me get up there, make sure. He goes up there. Him and my partner were the only two people on that entire level. And the way to get through there is two big old, they have like built like two big doors. And the only way to get into those doors is each door has a lock on it. It's a really big lock. And each door has one of those locks on it. Well, there's only two people in the whole place that has the keys. Well, one guy was up in New York helping build, you know, finish up a New York building or a skyscraper or something. And Jeff, the contractor, was another one. And he goes in there and he goes around, looks for anything. Nobody's on that whole entire floor. He's standing there by that door that's opening and closed by itself. And all of a sudden he says, it's a heavy door. The doors weigh at least about 75 pounds apiece, because they're fire safety doors. They're supposed to keep the smoke and, you know, fire at a distance, you know, that way it don't go to the other departments of the building. So they're pretty heavy doors. Like, you literally have to put all your ass into pushing them doors open. So he's standing there watching it, and I hear my partner call me on the radio. He goes, hey, Glenn, there's nobody up here. He goes, I just want to let you know, and the contractor's looking at the door right now. There's no wind up here. I said, okay. I said, well, there ain't really nothing to do about it, is there? And he goes, no, there's nothing. He goes, this is pretty freaky. So they get back down there, and all of a sudden, they get halfway back down the steps, and then all of a sudden you hear, boom. They go back up real quick. That door has literally opened all the way up by itself and then came back really hard. So that freaked them both out, so they start running down there. And then it was pretty creepy. But I've had other stuff happen to me since then. Like, it just seems like the energy that used to be in that place before I sage was so horrible. Like, you walk in there and it just feels so heavy on you. It is like, I don't know, I can't really explain that, but it was horrible. Like, there's so much, like, I remember seeing, there's a lot of good people in those buildings. But you kind of think about all the, you know, the murders and stuff like that happened, because there has been a lot of murders in that building. Like, have they been caused, you know, like, what has caused those murders? Could it be something in that building that's, you know, taking control of people doing it, or, you know, what's going on? But I do remember a couple of stories. I think I already posted it on your page. One guy was a guy who was a father, and apparently the grandmother and she was watching the granddaughter or something, or had custody of it, and the dad got mad that he couldn't see his daughter, so he went up there one night, and it's sad to say, but he ended up killing both of them with a gun. And then that was back in, I think, 2014 or something. And then another time, another horrible story. A guy was up there. He got set up by his best friend. The guy opened the door about midnight, close to midnight, and because he had somebody knock on it, it was his friend. He walked in there and said, you know, they stayed for a bit, and then he ended up leaving the door open. And the guy fell asleep on the couch. Well, he woke up to a double-barrel shotgun to his face, and they ended up robbing him. And then, it's sad to say, but the guy put the 20-gauge double-barrel shotgun to his chest and pulled the trigger and killed him instantly. But it's just a lot of stuff there. Like, you're just wondering, you know, with as much as you feel in there and stuff like that, is there something there that could cause people, you know, do harm to other people? Because before I sage, like, it's weird. But I've dealt with some of the, you know, some really nice people, and they'll go to a part of the building and come back and are hateful as can be, and they're like pissed off and they don't want nothing to do with you. And then they'll come back to you like, hey, you know, I want to apologize. You know, I don't know what happened. What the hell do you mean you don't know what happened? Like, you're pretty pissed off. We almost had to call the cops. He's like, I don't understand what happened. He goes, one minute I'm fine, Andy. Next minute he was irate, pissed off, and, you know, ready to tear down the building. But it's just some of the, like, feelings you get through when you walk through some of them hallways is just tremendous. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't know if it's just, like, the pain and suffering of people, but I've been there a couple times, and my partner will go on his rounds, and out of nowhere I hear, like, a woman start screaming really loud, like she was, like, in pure terror or somebody was hurting her. And I would have to jump up real quick and, like, run down the hallway to look to see if anybody's down there. And it's usually nobody there. And it's usually coming out of the damn ballroom. And the ballroom's just now getting touched up. It's being remodeled as well. But, you know, I walk in there. Nobody's in there. And there's three doors blocking the ballroom. And they're always locked unless the contractor's there. And this was pushing about 9, maybe 10 o'clock at night, right before getting off. And then Ron, one of the people living there, would be like, hey, did you hear that? And he lives on, so, like, it's the third floor, and Ron would come out and be like, hey, did you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, I heard that. Was that you guys? And he'd be like, no. He goes, what the hell was that? And I don't know. Like, it would be at random times we'll hear it, and it's always coming out of the ballroom. And again, there's three big doors there that they keep locked unless people are there, but this was happening, like, you know, 9 and 10, they've already been gone for a couple of good hours. And, you know, we walk in there, and, again, nobody is in there. And then, you know, I have to lock the door back again, put the key up in the little safe we have, and I walk on, and then sit back down, and all of a sudden you hear another woman scream, same voice, same everything. And it sounds like she's being tortured. But I'll keep you guys updated on the rest of stuff. You guys have a good night. Bye.
That was that call from Glenn. It makes you start to wonder, is there something in this building that is influencing the personalities of those around them? Here's our next call.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn. I just wanted to, like, let you know a couple things real quick. Now when a new guard comes to where we're at, they're updated not to go into the ballroom nor the first floor of this place. So it's kind of crazy. I just found that out the other day, which I'm now standing in the ballroom. But it was like 3 days ago before I called the last time. I actually had it was me and two other guards, and then there was a third or a fourth on the way, supposed to be there for a third shift. And while we were standing there, all of a sudden at the ballroom, we heard a woman scream really loud. And there's no way to get into the ballroom because it was locked up. Well, the two guards ran really quick. I was like, go, see who it is, because it could have been somebody in trouble or somebody hurt. They went in there real quick, unlocked it real quick. Nobody was in the ballroom.
But you could tell it's from the ballroom because the only place you could echo that high would be in the ballroom. And nobody was in the ballroom. And this has happened 3 to 4 times now, mainly going closer toward the night, about 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30-ish. It's happened about 4 or 5 times now. And every time it's the same voice, same scream, and it sounds cut up. Like, I don't know if I explained it, whatever, but it sounds like it's cut up. Like, it's really weird. And then I also, last week sometime, my other guard that I was with, he was walking around doing his patrols, and he was down the first floor. He was coming up to the second floor, and all of a sudden he heard somebody coming down the steps. He walked around real quick, looked up, and he said he could hear the footsteps walking, but nobody was coming down the steps. I just figured I'd let you guys know that one, but it's still getting weird here. Like, I don't know if it's ramping up or slowing down. Just some days are worse than others. You guys have a good day. Bye.
And then right after that communication with Glenn, he called back with another update for us on what was going on at the building.
How you guys doing? It's Glenn from Ohio. There is definitely something in the house now. I'm pretty sure of it. We're all sure of it. It's a little girl, and my youngest daughter, Miracle, described her to the T, what she looks like and, you know, what she does. But my oldest will not sleep in her bedroom at night because of it. And it only happens in her bedroom. She shares a bed with her sister, a bedroom with her sister. Her sister is one, and she sleeps across from her in her own little bed. But if this little girl gets up at night while she's trying to sleep and ask her if she wants to play, she won't leave her alone. She said she has black curly hair, white eyes, nails kind of long, and she said that this girl won't leave her alone. Well, you know, kind of been messing with this, so I went ahead and staged the room again. This is going to be the 9th time to do it. I think after this, if it don't work, she keeps getting waking up. I'm going to have a priest come in and bless the whole house. Follow me home. I was bringing down the laundry this morning at about 9 o'clock. I got up before everybody else and said, screw it, might as well take it downstairs to the basement. And my daughter has some toys downstairs from when she was younger that too little to play with yet. So they have taken the batteries down there, stored them in a, you know, dry place, out of the, you know, out of the way of the water and stuff like that. So I dumped our clothes down, started to load. We came back upstairs. As soon as we got halfway up the steps, one of the toys that no longer had the battery in it started going off. It went off a total of 3 times before I even got up the top of the steps. I looked back, nothing was, you know, I went back down there and looked around, but nothing was down there. But the toy went off 3 times. I even checked the damn batteries. There was no batteries in the system, so I can't explain that one. But my girlfriend still continues to say she sees a little girl walking around through our room at night, and then going into the girl's room and, as soon as she gets them walk through ours. So it's getting a little, you know, my girlfriend swears up and down it's our oldest, Miracle, and she'll go in and look at her real quick, and Miracle's dead asleep in her bed. And for the last couple nights, she's been sleeping in her dad's bed with her Nana because she does only keep getting woken up by this little girl, which that's fine. If she gets some sleep, that's fine. Because anymore, she'll wake up around 1 or 2, screaming and crying, saying, she won't leave me alone, she won't leave me alone, she won't leave me alone, she's in my dreams. And then, you know, I'll go ahead and get the same. We have a tradition of saying, when we do a saging, we'll end up, you know, going through it, and then saying, I'll end up lighting it, and chanting along through it with it, and then I'll blow up the whole house. I'll make sure I get enough of the smoke throughout the bedroom. I'll go underneath their bed, their toys. I'll even go into their closet. But I think whenever I sage, whatever the hell is in this house goes somewhere else and hits the room that isn't, you know, been touched by this. The last time I saged, the only room I could not sage, the one sage was her uncle. If a portal opened up, he didn't want to smell sage. So I'm guessing, I don't know if that's how it works. As soon as I start saging, either goes to a different part of the house. I don't know. If this doesn't work here soon,
age, and they're pretty good. You're about 4 inches in each stick, and one throughout the house. And I went through 4 of them already, 9 times in my daughter's room. So I'm coming to the point now. I'm like, okay, maybe a priest or a higher power needs to be in here to do this. But once I sage, it'll disappear for a couple of days, and boom, right back again to where my daughter's screaming and crying in our bed and won't go to sleep because the little girl won't leave her alone. But you guys have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
There was that strange noise there at the end of that call that we don't really know what the source of it was. And it could have very well just been a cell phone that was not properly hung up. Did have several messages after we aired that call initially of people specifically saying their pets were quite influenced by that, looking and acting strangely as that played back on the air originally. Like I said, we have a brand new call from Glenn to air. We're going to do that in just a few moments. To get the latest update on his life. I hope you're finding this experience interesting. This is a real person going through real things. I mean, certainly there's an aspect of this where it's intriguing, it's entertaining, but this is a real person that is going through a very real haunting experience as we speak. This was his next call.
How you guys doing? I'm going to tell you guys a story that's happened to me a while back. I think it was like maybe a month or two ago, but I had a dream. I was at work and I was sitting behind the desk, and I don't know who the other guy was, my other partner was, but it was just me behind the desk, and I was sitting there and I was doing some kind of paperwork or something. And all of a sudden I heard, and like the lobby was like empty. Nobody was in there. It's like a good night, I guess. I look up and see nobody. So I start writing back down in my journal, whatever it was I was doing. And then all of a sudden I hear a voice upon a voice. Another voice. And they're all screaming for help. What the fuck's going on? So I just sit there, ignore it, you know. And then I kept hearing another voice and another voice screaming for help. I look up, you know, I stand up, I look out into the ball, you know, or not in the ballroom, my apologies, out into the front main lobby. And then I noticed that there's bodies stacked upon bodies, and then there's more bodies stacked upon them, and they're crawling to the guard post. And then it's like they're coming out of, I guess, the floors, they're coming out of the beams, they're coming, I don't know where the hell these things are coming from, but they're literally screaming in terror, they're screaming in pain. The looks on their face, like, it's still imprinted in me. I can see right now the bodies coming out of the floor, and they're screaming, and they're crying, and they're asking for help. You know, there's nothing I can do. I just feel like somebody was walking up on me. But, there's literally nothing I can do for these people. And it kind of hurt me, you know, it hurt me because I'm the type of person, I will give you the last 20 out of my pocket if I know you need it, or if your kid needs something to eat. Or, you know, if you need something, I will give you the last bit of money I have to make sure that you have what you need. Because where I work, I make okay money. So if I can help you out, then that may, you know, it brings a smile to my face and makes me feel better. But, you know, it hurt me, you know, physically and mentally, because it took a toll on me. I was literally worn out for the next 2 days afterwards of having this dream. Like, I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't want to eat nothing. I could hardly sleep. I didn't sleep right for 3 days after this dream. I kept waking up in the middle of the night and staring, sitting up under my bed and staring at the wall. But this place is literally taking a toll on me. Everything from sleeping to my daughter now saying that there's a woman in her room that her name is Nina and she's waking her up every night. The fuck am I supposed to do? I can sage it. What are they going to do? What if it needs exorcism out of our house? What if it needs blessed? what if, you know, there's so many things they can do, but they're going to run down the line first. I've staged our room, my kids' room, the live room, you know, the kitchen. And there's literally so much I can do to help my daughters, my girlfriend. But my daughter will get up screaming and crying, coming in our room, telling her, Nina won't leave me alone. But who the fuck's Nina? She's the girl that lives in my closet. Okay, that's not right, you know? And then, like, I can tell I'm not the person I was before I came here. It's literally taking a toll on my body. I don't sleep right anymore. I feel drained when I come in here. And it's literally like getting to the point now where I regret, I don't like coming into work anymore. And what I do is easy money. I get paid okay, good money. But now it's coming to a point where I'm literally drained. As me and my girlfriend talking and something simple, like really simple, I will see it. I will literally blow the fuck up for no reason. And we both, like, not to get too personal, but me and my girlfriend both came out of a really horrible relationship. We both were abused and mentally and physically. And I told her when I first got with her that I will be her, you know, I will be there for her, you know, to protect her and our kids, you know, just stuff like that. And I ended up making her cry one day and it killed me. It fucking destroyed me on the inside. Like, I get to the point now where I'm blowing up for no reason. And it's something as simple, you know, as I couldn't even tell you what it was about. It was that stupid. And I literally made this woman that I actually love cry and it killed me. Because my job is to protect her, to make sure nothing like that ever happens to her. Because I'm supposed to be the guy that holds her when she cries, holds her when she's upset, kisses her when something is wrong. I'm supposed to be there to help her. And here the fuck I am. I'm turning into a monster because of the place where I work. Like, it's to the point now where I'm just like, you know what? I do need a new job, but it's going to take some time to get a new job. And what am I supposed to do then until then? Let this place eat the hell out of me, you know, eat away at me little by little until the point where I'm like, I totally lose my shit. But, you know, I'm not the only one this happened to. We'll get calls in the middle of the night or we'll get calls on the day or when I work a third shift. We'll get calls from those for stupidest shit. Two guys would be upstairs drinking. And one of the friends that wasn't drinking tries to stab another friend or something. And then we'll bring him down here and he'll try to fight us on the way down here. And when we get him outside the building, perfectly normal guy. Well, I ask him, what the hell happened? Oh, well, he said this and it made me blow up. Well, why'd you try to stab him? Man, I don't remember stabbing him. I said, buddy, when we got up there, you were holding a knife to him. He goes, but I swear to you, I don't remember any of that. And we'll get shit like that. Or we'll go, you know, instant where a lady will come in. You know, I know most of the people here. And they're good people. You know, they're down on the luck. You know, the location where they're at, they're down on the luck. You know, and I try to talk to them, you know, try to make them smile, stuff like that. I tell them a stupid joke or something. Just get them laugh. Just to try, you know, try to take them away from where the hell they're living. You know, and I know it's being remodeled. So, you know, they're always looking forward to that because after it's remodeled, it's going to be a beautiful place. You know, so I had a lady come up to me, I think Monday. Me, she goes, honey, you won't believe what the hell happened to me last night. And I was like, all right, what's happening now? You know, just jokingly. She goes, honey, somebody walked in my apartment. I said, well, did you call security? She goes, no. I said, well, why didn't you call security if you had somebody walk to your house? She didn't know, and you're the only one there. Why didn't you call us? We'd have came up. She goes, honey, he walked through my living room, walked right through my fucking wall. I said, oh, one of those. She's like, yeah. Sorry, I'll bring you some sage tomorrow. All right, thank you. It's getting to the point now where I should literally... Oh, I literally buy sage by the box, and I will bring it here, and I'll start passing it out to people. And I'm like, all right, and then they'll burn it for a little bit, and they're fine for a week or two, and then, you know, something will start back up. But this place is literally eating me alive. I do believe that's true. Like, the shit that happens here, I wish then, you know, the shit that I'm going to turn on, not on another person in my life, because you know, what can you do besides find a new job? Okay, that's gonna help you in the long run, but what about the person that's taking your position when you leave? They're gonna go through the same shit that you're going through. There's literally nothing anybody can do. There's too many rooms in this place. There's too many corridors in this place. There's rooms in here. I know I've told you about it recently, you know, a while back in one of the phone calls, but there's rooms that lead to nowhere. There's stairwells that lead to nowhere. Where is it going? You know, if we bring a priest in here, which I would love to have a priest come in here. Maybe four or five of them, you know, walk on each level, bless the whole place. Give whatever the fuck lives here out. But there's just too many rooms. There's too many hallways. There's too many stairwells for someone. You at least need 10 to 20 priests to come in here and be able to bless where they need to bless. Because they're not going to reach, you know, they bless one way, it's probably going to go through the other. And it's just, I don't know, you can tell by some of the older people that live here, you know, that the shit that they experience, you know, has taken a toll on them too. We had a guy a while back, had a firefight with the police officers, shot off 365 rounds, literally turned the elevator to fucking Swiss cheese. And they asked the guy, when they arrested him, when he finally ran out of ammunition, they asked the guy, they said, "Why did you do this?" He goes, "Buddy, I don't remember it." And the cop's like, "Well, there has to be a reason you shot it. So, you shot off at like six or seven officers, you know, and then shot off this many rounds." And he's like, "I don't know why I did that. You know, something clicked and I went with it." He goes, "Something clicked? You mean like mentally?" He goes, "No, something clicked in my head and told me to do it." And the guy is now still in a psych ward down in Kentucky somewhere. I couldn't tell you what. I do know he is in a psych ward because it cost him almost $25,000 to fix the elevator because they had to pull it out throughout the building. So there's 11, 12 floors here, and they had to pull it out through the roof. And they said it damn near fell apart coming up because it was riddled with so many bullet holes. But, yeah, it's some of the shit we get here. We'll get people going off for no reason. People getting upset for no reason. And, you know, I get the shit like I get. But I hope you guys have a good night. I'll talk to you next time if anything else happens.
Something truly oppressive is going on in that building, it seems. Affecting people's mental state, their judgment, and their actions. Let's now go to the latest call from Glenn. This is one I have not heard yet. This is one no one has heard yet. Here's the latest.
Hey, Tony, it's Glenn from Ohio. Had some weird stuff happen lately. I know I haven't called in a while, but I've been promoted up to sergeant at my job, so I've been taking on more responsibilities and more stuff, but I was talking to one of my other guards that I work with on second shift, and you know, she was telling me about some stuff, and we were talking about something, and we got on the subject of ghosts and stuff, and she goes, "This place is haunted." So yeah, I know that. And she was telling me about some of the stuff. I've had a couple of things happen to me recently, and she was telling me about when she was on the patrol. I think it was like a week ago. It was sunny out, you know, no clouds, no nothing like that. It was a nice day. While she was on a patrol coming around the front of the building, she noticed two shadows go into the road and come back off the road until they reached the sidewalk and they disappeared. She noticed that one of them went out halfway to the road, and then turned around and came back. And she was looking around like she thought somebody was messing with her, playing with her or something. So she was looking around, looked up, there was no, you know, clouds in the sky, no nothing like that. And then she started walking up more, and then here comes another one. Did the same, almost exact same thing. So it could have been the same one. But she said the way this one was moving, it was different from the first one. And she kind of thought that was weird, but she swore up and down that somebody was messing with her. She was, you know, Glenn, I looked everywhere. And there's people down the road from her, but there's nobody out in front of her. She goes, where these shadows were popping up, there was nobody there. And I told her, I said, well, there was a couple people that got, you know, shot and killed out in the road. And there was one gentleman that got killed in the little circle when you pull up to our building. I said, but yeah, there has been a couple of, you know, murders out there in the road. And she goes, well, that might have been them. I said, yeah, it could have been. So we're now stationed at the back door because due to construction, it don't really lock. So people can come into the back. You have to sign in to get to the building. Well, I was sitting down there the other day in my own business, and to my left there would be a door where a gentleman in a wheelchair would come out because they've been trying to fix the wheelchair ramp. So they completely demolished it, and now they're rebuilding a new one. So until then, our orders are to help them get down the ramp, up the surface elevator, up the third floor, and then let them go on about his business. And then when he wants to come out, take him down the service elevator, back down the one, and out through there. And I closed the door because I was watching, or closed the door to my left. And I decided to sit up against it because the gentleman that they're helping, he went to bed for the night. So we knew that that door didn't need to be open anymore. So I'm sitting there in a chair, and all of a sudden I felt like a good gust of wind blow from my left. And I'm like, what the hell was that? And all of a sudden it got really cold coming out of that door. And this door leads down to where the old boilers are. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And I got really, like, a cold, got intensified. It got so cold that I could actually start to see my breath. And then lingered for like a couple of seconds, and then felt like it walked off to the other room. And I was like, okay, that's enough for me. I was like, I need one of you guys to come change me out. I'm done down here. And Bennett came down and changed me out. On my way to the bathroom, I use a restroom. I went to the men's stall, and I was, you know, doing my business, and all of a sudden, I looked out underneath the stall door, and I saw a shadow walk by it. It was like, more or less, like, wasn't a whole figure. It just, you could see where somebody walked underneath the light, and you can see their figure walk by the door. And I was like, well, that's kind of messed up, because there is a lock on the door, and when we use the restroom, it's a security bathroom, so we'll lock the door behind us as we go use the restroom. And I've already locked the door, so I knew I was the only one in there, and I was, you know, doing my business, and all of a sudden I heard, like, what sounded like boots walking on gravel. And I was like, hello, anybody there? And I heard the steps get closer and closer. Finally got up, opened the door, and looked out. And nobody was out there. I've never gotten out of the bathroom so fucking quick in my life. That was some scary shit. Like, I seen the shadow, then I heard the footprints. That was some scary shit. But, a couple of the other guards have been, you know, witnessing things in here. We still get the smell of perfume on the 7th. It's kind of weird. Like, it's just in one part. Our radios will literally cut out in certain parts of the building where there's been... We know for sure that there's been murders. If we'll walk up to there and all of a sudden it goes to static and you hear a voice come through, and then all of a sudden we'll probably look at, well, I guess that's just, you know, the walkie's picking up police transmission or something. And we'll walk a little further and it's completely fine. But the weird part about this, we literally have two big towers on top of the building. One which a popular cell phone company owns, but they don't own, they rent out from the building. And then there's another one that still works, but they're getting ready to demolish it. But we literally will get only in certain parts of the building where it will literally cut out in here or something, and then, you know, going about our business. There has been times where we literally cannot use the radio at all because it sounds like something is following us throughout a floor. Once we get off that certain floor, it'll stop. Or we've actually had a time where, walk down the hallway and it would completely like static the whole time. You wouldn't hear anything. You get to the next floor and you hear something and completely static would stop. So I don't know if that's more or less a transmission error or something, but it gets weird. And I think with the building's almost complete, it'll be finished in December. And I think most of the reason is, you know, it's happening that is because most of the stuff has calmed down. We'll still get those lights, you know, door slamming and stuff, you know, hell, the other guard was telling me that while she was sitting down there at the entrance of the door we had to watch, the door was completely open, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was light outside, you know, and there was two people down in the basement in the boiler room cutting up the old boilers and bringing them out and then, you know, trashing them. And while she was sitting down there, she was sitting in front of the door, in front of the door that leads down to the boiler room. And all of a sudden, a good, like, cold air blew through, and the door slammed so hard that it broke the damn handles off of it. It literally sheared it from the right side down all the way down to past the handle. She'd never, ever seen anything like that before. And I said, well, what happened? She goes, I don't know. I was just sitting here. All of a sudden, I felt really cold. The next minute, that door slammed so hard, it broke off the whole damn right side of it. And they've tried to repair it, but, you know, it literally cracks all the way down to where the break is, and then it will fall off again. So I know something that doesn't want them, you know, putting it up or what's going on, but here soon we're supposed to have our camera system back at 100%. It's going to be awesome because it's like going to be, the building is going to be completely covered. I have been in the main office at night, and it's to our left, one of our new guard posts. And I will literally go outside to smoke a cigarette, and I will look in there, and I will see shadows walk down the hallway and then disappear into a room. And then I'll run in there real quick. I'll radio the other guards. I'm like, person in this room up here in the office, three of the guards will come rounding up, surround all the doors. There's two doors, and then we'll push in from both sides of those doors, and then we'll search every room. And every time we've done this, there's not been a damn person in that room. And Luke, like the old maintenance man, was telling us, he goes, that stuff's, you know, it's nothing to worry about. It's just people checking up on things. And I was talking to him a while back before he ended up going to another job. He was telling me, he goes, I think it's more or less the spirits that are in this building come out to check to make sure that the building is being taken care of. So the building hasn't been remodeled. I found this out yesterday. It hasn't been remodeled in 40 years. So that's some time. And I was talking to him. I was like, you know, 40 years, that's a long time. And he was like, yeah. But he thinks that they're just sticking around to make sure that the building is taken care of. One of the spirits, I think, is actually the gentleman that actually built the place when it was originally made in 1892, I do believe. That's when he was doing construction on it. And I think he's just sticking around, checking on, make sure that, you know, the place is being taken care of and all the other good stuff. But I will be more than happy to call you guys the next time we have any more sightings and stuff like that. I'm still kind of shaken up about the damn body cam. I no longer carry the body cam with me because it just, I don't know, it freaked me the hell out because going down that hallway, down the steps, it literally ripped from the leather strap. And it dug in so damn hard that I've posted pictures to your guys' site. You can actually see where the teeth ripped through the leather. And that's some good leather. I don't understand. Like, that has to be a lot of force for something to rip it down through bare metal and throw that son of a bitch up into the wall. Like, I picked it up, done, made sure it was working. I don't take that body cam with me no more. But you guys have a good day. I'll talk to you the next time I catch something. Bye.
So that's the latest from Glenn. Obviously a myriad of emotions that he's gone through with that building. Some rationalization going on right now, it seems. Which may be what is needed, seeing how dark it got and how it felt like it was taking over personalities right now. Maybe it's on the downside of that, and hopefully, for his sake, it stays that way. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any more of his updates as he calls in later on this year. If you like our show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our episodes in advance and EPP bonus episodes. Brand new ones every single week. at ghostpodcast.com and patreon.com/realghoststories. For everyone here at Real Ghost Stories Online, happy Halloween.